Well, greetings, everyone. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome to the Shepherd's Call. My, but we got some good information for you tonight. We're going to get into some geographical locations talking about where Christ was prophesied in the Scriptures that he would be born at. Now, what the prophecies say and what the Jews, or the New Testament, if you will, the New Parchment, what it says is actually two different things. Now, something's rotten here in Denmark, and we're going to intend. You see, we're going to dig out the facts. If you want facts, call a friend and tell them that the Shepherd's Call is on the air. If you want popcorn, you know, something that will artificially satisfy you for a moment, and then you will get hungry later, we're going to put meat on your table. This ain't popcorn. This is divine truth, slated for the last day revelation of the end times. Why? Because Yahweh is going to cut short his time period for the reaping of the earth. We are in perilous times, the last days. Deception abounds. We can't trust anyone. You know, the most untrustworthy is the preachers, these that gather each Sunday in the bell boxes, and they preach their traditional message to the tickling ear syndrome of Jacob Israel. Oh, we love it so that we're steeped in tradition as we keep these pagan days that the bell box ministers hand down to us. Well, you know, every Christmas, they read this scripture, Matthew 2, where we covered last night, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to prove that these wise men who came to Jerusalem, a city that was called by the great name of the king, we're talking about Yahweh, praise Yahweh, they went a direction different than what they were told by the scribes and the Pharisees. When Herod asked, this is in verse 2, Herod says, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And he had gathered the chief priests and scribes of the people together. He demanded of them where Christ should be born. Now, that's the text tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We're looking for an advanced class of disciples that have got their Bibles. I would prefer that you have two, one to look up the scripture and one to hold where I'm at, praise Yahweh, or get your fingers ready to do the walking through the white pages of the scriptures. We're going to ride a fast horse tonight. We're going to go to geographical proving ground where that the scriptures must connect and interlock in truth. Well, we do know that some have added to and some have taken away, and we are now looking at the scribes' reaction. They said that he will be born, verse 5, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet. Now, where is it written that he's going to be born in Bethlehem, Judea? That's the question. Now, let's quickly go over to the book of Micah. Go there, if you will, with me, praise Yahweh. We're going to the 5th chapter, and we're going to the very scriptures that the Pharisees and the scribes are those that penned the scriptures. We believe they were instrumental in changing the text. And the Bible said, "Beware of them that come to you in sheep's clothing, these pious." You know, the Bible warns us to be wary of them, long-robed individuals wearing a holy beard, if you will, tassels, the hair curled up on the end, wearing a black draped hat down over their ears, and their body covered with a long black coat. Well, these are not necessarily angels, praise Yahweh, because the Bible speaks about them to beware of them, for they love to wear long robes. They love to be saluted in the street and called a rabbi. Oh my, praise Yahweh, but we're going to put some light that has been covered and obscured for generations of time on the subject here tonight as we go into the book of Malachi, chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Now, hurry over there. I'm just going to give you about 10 seconds to find that. It is in the old parchment. Matter of fact, if you turn right back from the book of Matthew, it would be closer for you, and you go back into the old scriptures, you can find the book of Matthew. From Matthew, you can find the book of Micah very easily, praise Yahweh. Just a few pages difference between the two books, going in the reverse cycle. Now, verse 1. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. Now, who is this that has laid siege? This is Herod, the henchman, the killer, that is trying to find the Christ child to kill him. Now, why would he want him killed? Because Herod was an Edomite Jew. Now, let me repeat that. Herod was an Edomite Jew. He was a blood-mixed Israelite with the blood mix of the Canaanite. He came from, this Edomite, Herod, came from the tribe of Judah. The whole area in this area, including the Sanhedrin court, the high priest, and all of those that run the government at that time, most of these, I'm not going to say all, but most, I'll leave a benefit of the seed doubt that there is a few righteous in Judah. Now, the biggest majority of the good figs of Judah, according to Jeremiah, they transmigrated out of this little area, sandbox as we call it, Israel lie, not Israel truth. Now, the ingenious of the founders of this new nation in 1948 called it the land of Israel. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it was a land that was taken from those that possessed it, and we're talking about the sons of Abraham on Ishmael's side of the Arab race. They came in forcibly by war bloodshed, by Holocaust, if you will, and the Holocaust tonight is still going on as they have a license to kill, to maintain this occupied territory that does not, I repeat, does not belong to them. These Jews are foreigners. They came into the land from all nations under the earth in the guise of being Jews, when they were actually Khazaric, did not have any Jewish affiliation. They had just adopted the Jewish religion. So then, I have said before, and I will give again the justification of this figure. Could be off a percentage point or two, but I would say less than 10% of all of the population now that is there in Israel, approximately 5 million people, I would say less than 10% of them are true blue descendant sons of Jacob. The rest are imposters or non-aligned blood covenant people that have come in and just adopted the Jewish religion, which does not qualify you, ladies and gentlemen, to go to heaven. You must be out of the house of Jacob. This is very necessary. Now, you say, well, what if, Pastor Buddy, that Herod here and these Pharisees and these Sadducees and the scribes, what if they were half Judites or half with the tribe of Judah, and half with the Canaanite? That would disqualify them from any birthright inheritance. Now, why is it that the daughters or the troops, the siege being laid against this great land, and I'm going to show you, prove to you, where that Herod's henchmen went into northern Galilee, and there they slaughtered, get this now, they literally slaughtered thousands upon thousands. A matter of a fact, they slayed every male child. In this region throughout Galilee, they slayed every male child from 2 years old down in order to kill the birthright inheritor. That's how bad that these Canaanite Edomites hated the faults of another king or the birthright inheritor. Yahweh Shua, if you will, in a flesh body, came through the lineage of Ephraim, the birthright son. We're going to prove that tonight, praise Yahweh. So Herod went up and laid siege. Now remember, the wise men went and found him. They went and found the Messiah. And Herod's men went after them, and to begin to kill. Now, Herod would not have slain all of the inhabitants of Judah. He would not have killed all the male children down in Judah. He was particularly knowing that the fact that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem Ephratah. Now, where in the world is Bethlehem Ephratah? It has been very conveniently, if you will, removed out of the biblical maps, expertly taken off. You have to have some old ancient maps to find it even listed in the map. But we have the scriptures where that Bethlehem Ephratah is in the Bible and where it's located and what the prophecies of that area for who the Messiah, if you will, the chief shepherd, the king of all kings, Yahweh, Jesus, as you would know him, Christ, the anointed one, was prophesied to come from this very little obscure place on the planet. Now, it is here, as it is said, that they shall lay siege, and they shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon his cheek. Now, what did that mean? They were hunting down the birth child, the Messiah, the inheritor of the true birthright. The Edomite, Canaanite Jews never had the birthright. Now, they took the scepter by political force. It wasn't theirs, because we have proven in Genesis 49 and 10 that scepter, which is a symbol of authority, that they took that through the Bible, the word for it. And this is in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 2. They prevailed Judah, the Judites. Now, there is good people in the tribe of Judah. I'm not speaking negatively against them. I have to make myself clear repeatedly, because sometimes people take me wrong by saying, well, Pastor Buddy, you just throw out the whole tribe of Judah. Oh, no, I do not. They're one of the most marvelous and magnificent tribes, with all of their glory and their heritage, that stand among the Israelites, who are then collectively known as the House of Israel. And we are talking about the Hebrews, as they have grown into the combined House of Israel. Now, Judah was one tribe, and the 10 northern tribes were the other tribe, and then Benjamin, who was on the border between Judah and the 10 northern tribes, then they began to miscegenate into the tribe of Judah. Israel began to war with them for their atrocities, meaning their corrupt way of living. We're talking about the Benjamites. And Israel almost eliminated all of the house of Benjamin. They left a few for seed's sake, and that's why that Judah incorporated them in, or they miscegenated into the tribe. And now that we still have 12 tribes, and there's 12 gates into the city, praise Yahweh, and these Edomites came in through the corrupted bloodline of Judah in the 38th chapter, and Simeon in the 46th chapter of the book of Genesis. There you will find it, that they begin to corrupt their bloodline with Canaanites. Now, these sons survive. What most identity preachers will not tell you, I'm the only one on the market, praise Yahweh, that will give you this information, is that some of these Canaanite descendants, mixed with Abraham's seed, they survived. As a matter of fact, they went down according to the book of Genesis, and it is in the 46th chapter again of the book of Genesis for your reference. We have taught on it previously in many times past, and we have this on VHS video and audio. but we are going to share these things with you tonight, especially because we think it's very important to prove the geographical landmark of where that the Messiah is born. Now, Genesis 46, verses 10, 11, and 12 will show you especially where that the two tribes brought in corrupted bloodline, a seed with the Canaanites, and these Canaanites went down into. Now, the Canaanites has been with the house of Israel for a long time. This is how the snake got in, ladies and gentlemen. And they went down, the Bible says in the 46th chapter, all these, the descendant sons, Shaul and Shelah, they went down into the land of Egypt with the remaining descendants of Jacob, along with Jacob himself. They sojourned there for 400 years approximately, and then they multiplied exceedingly, and they all came out together again. It is listed in Exodus chapter 12, verse 38, that Israel came out of the land of Egypt. And Ramesses, they departed the land of Egypt, it says, and also Israel came out, and also a mixed congregation. Now, that word mixed, we covered it before. Look up the Strong's number for that word, and it means a fornicated seed. There was a fornicated Canaanite infusion into the house of Israel. They grew up, they played with the Israelites, the true blues. They mixed and they mingled together to where that it became very hard. Only Yahweh knows them that are his. There will be a separation day from the tares among the wheat. Yes, the tare, the Canaanite blood infusion, got into the wheat line of Israel. It is a complicated, and that's why it is so deceiving. That is why it is so confusing. It is why it is so complicated. But the Bible says, I will send you shepherds. And this is the Shepherd's Call. Pastor Buddy, I am trailblazing. I'm laying the truth down tonight as no other identity preacher will preach it. They're not on the scene. Why? Because they don't want to get into the revelation of this truth. Number one, possibly they don't know. Number two, they may have taught against it in the past or are too proud to bow to the preponderance of the evidence presented. Well, this pastor will bow to the evidence. Just bring the evidence that is contrary to the infusion of the Canaanite bloodline in Genesis 46. This bloodline is there. And they mixed and miscegenated into the tribe of Israel to where you couldn't tell a Jew from a Canaanite. Now that's very sad, but it's true. And so then in the time of Christ, Christ addressed them in the 8th chapter of the book of John as we go there. Now I'm coming back to Micah 5 and verse 2 to continue, praise Yahweh, but let's go over to John chapter 7 first, and I'll show you the controversy. Mark these scriptures if you're an advanced student, and I'm not going too fast for you. Mark these scriptures. Start at verse 40 of John chapter 7 and read down through verse 52. Now the 40th verse says that when they heard this, they said he was the prophet. Verse 41 says, shall Christ come out of Galilee? And I've done told you they put a question mark there, and it shouldn't be there. It should be a statement. Yes, Christ will come out of Galilee. What do you think he's called a Galilean? Oh, say, well, he's born in Judea, glory to God, but he went and lived up in Nazareth. Well, that could have been possible, but it was highly unlikely if the truth of the scriptures of the prophecies of the Bible will hold up, and we do believe that the foundation of the prophets are sure, and we're standing on the traditions of the prophets, and we are preaching that he is the chief cornerstone. Now, Bethlehem Ephratah, let me give you the simplicity of this message. Bethlehem Ephratah, is there a Bethlehem Ephratah? Have you ever heard of Bethlehem Ephratah? Probably not. Why not? It is in the Bible as much or maybe more. It is actually in the Old Testament, the Old Parchment, more than is Bethlehem Judea. You see, Bethlehem Judea was just a fault at the time of the territories as they were allotted to the 12 tribes. There was no Bethlehem Judea. We can prove that in the territorial allotment in the book of Joshua between chapters 15, as we're going there shortly, between chapters 15 and chapter 18. There is no Bethlehem Judea. but there was a Bethlehem Ephratah. Now, where is a Bethlehem Ephratah? Well, they would like for me to forget that, or you to never know it, and that I would go away. Yes, I've had a lot of trouble trying to bring this revelation truth on to the worldwide arena. Yes, we are fought. Yes, we're opposed, but we have a nucleus, a mighty army of great and bold men and women standing behind this voice. I am not the only voice on this doctrine. There are many standing behind me. I am chosen to be the speaker this afternoon, praise y'all, or this evening for your benefit, that I might show or declare unto you the whole council. Bethlehem Ephratah and Bethlehem Judea are two geographical different locations. Now, Bethlehem Ephratah has faded from the scene, very conveniently, I would say, as the scribes did not want anyone to know, as they were deceiving in the book of Matthew here, as they told that Christ would come out of Bethlehem, Judea. That ain't what the scripture says in the book of Micah, where they were quoting from the prophet. Go there yourself. Verse 2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah. Now, I have told you that Ephraim gets his name. This is the word Ephraim means fruitful. Thou, Bethlehem, Beth means house of, Elohim, the house of God, or the house of Yahweh. This is where that Jacob slept on the stone, in Bethlehem Ephratah. There is where he was given covenant. There is where he said, the father addressed Jacob and said, this shall be a memorial place for you. And ladies and gentlemen, I have a map of the geographical layout of the land of Palestine. Now, in this area of Bethlehem Ephratah, oh my, hallelujah, I just get chills thinking about it, and when I see it, I just get overwhelmed with the evidence of truth. Our Heavenly Father declared this to be the holy place where He would place His name and give His covenant to His seed. Oh, this is wonderful. Now, this map shows in the natural configuration at Bethel, only one place on the geographical planet. On planet Earth, there is only one known place where there is a natural configuration of the name of Yahweh written in the earth. Well, we're down at the bottom. We're going to come back to Micah 5 and 2, and we're going to go into more of the advanced truth. Now, you advanced students, you stay with us. You milk drinkers, why don't you just turn the dial? Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy. We're on a fast horse. Get your Bibles. Praise y'all. We'll get you two or three. Get ready to spread the truth. Let's go to the scriptures and find truth. Bethlehem Ephratah. Where is Bethlehem Ephratah? Is it in Judah? The answer is no. Is it in Zebulun up north? The answer is no. Where is it? We'll find it for you, praise Yahweh. And then when we do, we're going to correct the scriptures here in Matthew chapter 2, verse 6. And thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah. Any what the original scripture should have read. My, I hope they dig up an original text one of these days, and possibly it could come about, for this is an error. Ladies and gentlemen, the truth should read, and thou Bethlehem Ephratah, as it reads in the prophecies of Micah 5 and 2. Go back to Micah 5 and 2 and read what it says. Thou Bethlehem Ephratah. Hallelujah. Though thou be little compared to the thousands of Judah. So it's a comparison that Bethlehem Ephratah would be a little obscure place geographically, and I've done told you that it is in the territory of Joseph Ephraim in Bethel Ephratah. It is the same city called modern terms the city of Ephraim. Oh my, praise Yahweh, where Christ went before his final Passover meal with his disciples. He retired back to his birthplace. Now, here we go. And by the way, that is in the 12th chapter of, or the 11th chapter of the book of John, praise Yahweh, the 54th verse, if you would like to go there. I'm not going there. I don't have time to cover all this. Oh my, if someone would give me the funds for a three-hour program, not how we could turn truth into reality. There is just so little time to bring all these mysteries. You are listening to groundbreaking revelations here tonight. Bethlehem Ephratah. Now, where is Bethlehem Ephratah? Now, remember here, as we go and leave the second chapter of the book of Matthew, it is written in the 18th verse in Ramah. Where in the world is Ramah? Have you ever heard of that word, that name? Is it a territory? Is it a city? Is it a place? Or is it just a name? Well, it is a place where Samuel was born. The great prophet Samuel came from Ramah. He was a Ephraimite, so this is in the land of Ephraim, Ramah. Look it up on your map. Write me. I have a map. I have the map that I described where the name of Yahweh is written. Looks like with the finger into the mountain. The configuration of the geographical layout is amazing. His name written in the four sacred Hebrew characters of the square script Hebrew. Written right there for you to see. Only a trained eye can see it, but we can point it out to you, and you can see his great name written in Bethel. This is the territory of the promised birthright Messiah, the Savior of the world, would come forth. But in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children. Leah is the mother of Judah, Rachel is the mother of the birthright sons, and Israel is umbrellaed over the coverage of Ephraim. So then, Herod went into the 10 northern tribes, and he wreaked havoc as he slayed every male child from 2 years old and down. There's why that there was a great weeping. It is referred back in prophetic utterance as it was coded in Micah 5, verse 1, they'll lay siege against the land and smite the judge of Israel with a rod. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little compared to the thousands or the greats of Judah, yet out of you, out of Bethlehem Ephratah, not out of Bethlehem Judah. Wake up here, ladies and gentlemen. Are you advanced thinkers? I hope we got rid of all the milk drinkers, because, you see, you want to suck the tit of tradition. You want to suck on the breast of ignorance and fear and superstition and what your mommy and your daddy taught you. But if you listen to Pastor Buddy, you're going to have to throw those things out the window and get into the truth. The truth will make you free. Thou Bethlehem Ephratah. Out of you shall come forth he that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings are from old. One of the ancient ones is prophesied to come out of the house of Bethlehem Ephratah, the birthright territory. It is prophesied in other places, mainly here in the book, Go Quickly, Praise Yahweh. Man, we're on a fast track tonight, and I just don't have time. I do wish that time would permit me to really slow down, and I wish that I had a big board where I could have all of my advanced students tonight gathered in person, where we could go through this, and it takes about 18 hours to really cover this in detail, praise Yahweh. So that's how much teaching is that I'm trying to pack into this one-hour episode. And, of course, we're on every night, and we have a portion of the truth delivered. And in the confusion, you see, the Bible says, when the word is sown, then cometh the wicked one to snatch up that which is sown. Now, again, we said that in Genesis 49, we're going to verse 24. Look at the prophetic utterance in 24, but his bow shall abide in strength. We're talking about Joseph and Ephraim, and his arms and his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From him, from Joseph, is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Oh my, praise Yahweh. From him is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, verse 26, on Joseph will be the crown of him that was separate from his brethren. He was separated and given the birthright over the objections of all of the other tribes because he was the one chosen to receive it. Remember when David himself, an Ephraimite, 1 Samuel 17:12, when he was chosen from bringing from the sheepfold, the herd, the shepherd, it was a perfect type that Christ would come from the bloodline of David, an Ephraimite, not a Jew. Oh my, hallelujah, praise Yahweh. Here's the prophecies. Nowhere does it say here that Christ is coming out of Bethlehem, Judea. It says he's coming out of Bethlehem, Ephratah, geographically speaking, a different location of about approximately 50 miles as the crow flies between Bethlehem, Judea, and Bethlehem, Ephratah. Now, quickly, we're going to back to the book of Genesis, if you will, turn there very quickly, praise Yahweh, and we will go back to the 35th chapter of the book of Genesis. We're proof positive here now. We're laying the groundwork. We are laying a gestalt, if you will, of information, and this information must stand or withstand the onslaught of the enemy who will try to come in later and scatter the sheep and or to bring a disruption or confusion to the matter. The Jews are notorious for this as they followed the Apostle Paul, Peter, James, and John, and stirred up the wrath of the people against the teaching. You know what they were teaching? The same thing Pastor Buddy's teaching. Well, what if I was among a herd of Jews today and I was preaching this gospel in the city? Do you think they would go well with them? I doubt it. Do you think they'd stone me? Probably. You think I'd care? Well, somebody's got to suffer, and might as well be me and you, the advanced students of your thinking. Let the world throw stones at you. Don't swim with the herd or the school of fish, if you will. Go in a different direction. Go where, well, even angels are feared. They're afraid to tread here, praise Yahweh, because we haven't seen any lately treading in this truth. We're talking about those in two and shoe leather, and those that put their clothes on daily and brush their teeth and comb their hair and look in the mirror and then deny the scriptures here. Well, we're hunting you, praise Yahweh. The truth will hunt you down. Now, we're in the, let's see here. Let's go to the 14th verse of Genesis 35. Are you with me, advanced students? You milk drinkers, you have probably long gone, because the Bible said he did his own milk is unskillful in the word of Yahweh. Strong meat belongs to them who have, through exercise, a discernment ability that they may separate the chaff or the tares from the wheat. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with them, even a pillar of a stone. Remember, the stone shepherd is to come out of this area. Oh, praise Yahweh, according to the prophecies of Genesis 49, verse 24. Are you with me, advanced students? Remember, the stone shepherd will come from the land of Joseph Ephraim. Well, what about the Jews, buddy? They said he come from Bethlehem, Judea. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if I was in charge of a love letter written to you, I was a postmaster, and somebody wrote you, and you said, well, darling, I love you. You were courting your sweetheart, and I was the postmaster, so I could intercept your letter. I could change, darling, I do not love you, and you would be heartbroken thinking that your sweetheart didn't love you. See, you can change one word, and that's what they done. They got in, they changed, they altered the text in the scriptures, and therefore they made everybody and their grandmother believe that Christ would be a Jew coming out of Bethlehem, Judea. Not so. He came out of Bethlehem, Ephratah, according to the prophetic country. You see, they weren't smart enough to hide all of, or to make obscure, if you will, all of the scriptures. The Heavenly Father saw to it that just enough to escape the translators that Pastor Buddy and you, the advanced student listening, could put all this together. And there's many around the network. It's growing daily. My, we get calls from all over the country and foreign countries about this message. Why? Because it is ground-shaking. It gives some teeth into the validity of the scriptures, that the scriptures are written for reproof and correction. And these things hidden out in the last days are coming forth. So, here he is. He poured a drink offering upon the stone and the oil. This is symbolic of Christ's death. And Jacob called the name of that place where God spoke to him, Bethel. Long before there was a Bethlehem, Judea, there was a Bethel. Now, where is this Bethel? My, if we can find out where Bethel is, and we can find out where Ephratah is, then we will probably know it ain't where the Jews say it is. Now, they say Christ would be born out of Bethlehem, Judea. But the scripture says he's coming out of Bethlehem, Ephratah. Listen to me. Verse 16, we're in Genesis chapter 35, and there they journeyed from Bethel. Now, this is Jacob and his wife and his entourage, his family growing now. But there was a little way to come to Ephrah. Now, Jacob had 11 sons at this point already born into his family. So we got quite a congregation of people, this entourage, if you will, journeying through the land. And they came to Bethel, which is Ephrah. Are you with me? Bethlehem Ephratah. Follow me? And Rachel travailed there, and she had hard labor. Well, isn't that symbolic of Herod going into the land of Ramah? Jeremiah chapter 31, that the Bible says that they in Ramah, or they in Galilee, they in the upper 10 tribe region, there was a great weeping for Rachel's children. Here is Rachel's children symbolically here at the very place where Herod would move in thousands of years later and cut the heads of Rachel's descendant sons and the other 10 tribes of Israel. He would take their heads off, and there's why the prophetic answers that Rachel weeping for her children. Here it is in the land of Bethlehem Ephratah. Verse 19. And Rachel died and was buried after she had Benjamin. See, she was dying in childbirth. She gave birth to the final son, the 12th, which means complete. It ended right there, ladies and gentlemen, when Benjamin was born into the family of the house of Israel. Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrah, which is Bethlehem. Are you with me? Micah 5 and 2 says, Thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, out of you shall come the stone shepherd that will rule in Israel. Herod tried to smite him up on the cheek, it was his prophesied, and he smote the land grievously as this Edomite Jew and the henchman of the army of the Canaanite Jews of Judah, if you will, praise Yahweh, there is an infection in the land or the house of Israel, and this is the truth that will eradicate it once and for all and settle the issue. No, no, never was, never will be. Judah is not the chosen people of God, or the Jews, as it is commonly called. They are not, I repeat emphatically, they are not the children of God or the chosen children of God, if you will, or the birthright children. The Jews never had this heritage, this distinction of honor placed upon them. Now, how did they get this? How did they do the switch? They got rid of Joseph first. They prevailed. And then they begin to walk among their brethren with a serpent Canaanite blood. These serpents are very wise. They knew the plan. And they begin to dominate or prevail over their Israelite brethren. And they begin to rule over the house of Israel. And when Christ came 2,000 years ago into this house, he found his house, his temple, full of these Canaanite Edomites. No wonder he took a whip and drove them from the house, turned over the money changers, who owns all of the money changing abilities today. And, you know, if you ask the old question, can you change a 20? And the person can say, yes, I can change it out of my hand to yours. That's the trick of the Jew. They change your money out of your hand into their hand. That's the ability that they have through the Cain blood infusion with the spiritual heritage blood that's in them from Abraham. You say, Pastor Buddy, these Cainites can't have Abraham's blood in them. Well, I've just proven to you that they had Abraham's blood through the descendant sons, the grandsons of Abraham. They went out foolishly and brought in Canaanite affections, blood, into the house of Israel. And there these Canaanites grew up among us. and they are among us today, and it's according to the scriptures, as the tares and the wheat are still together, and Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrah, which is Bethlehem, and Jacob set up a pillar upon her grave. This is the stone the builders rejected, ladies and gentlemen. It is where the name of Yahweh is written in the earth, right for my mouth. Email me tonight, Pastor Buddy, at www.gap.net. That is E. Johnson. That's my email address, ejohnson@wwgap.net. And if you would like to telephone me about this message tonight, my telephone number is area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you'd like to write me, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. That's all it takes now. You can take any of those combinations to reach me. I'll get the information back to you as quickly as possible. You see, my job is to inform you. Now, after you're informed, it would be better for you not to hear this than to hear it not obey. Now, those of you that are in my advanced class, those of you who are listening to Pastor Buddy, now what do you got to do? Are you just going to sit there and twiddle your thumbs and say, yep, I guess it's right. Glory to God. Well, you can become an action figure in this, a disciple, a student of the Word. You become an action student. First of all, you repent. You get baptized in the great name, the one that was rejected, by the way, and wash away your sins. That's the only way you can clean yourself up in this and go to be with Yahweh when he comes together, his saints, with his angels together in Matthew 25:31, where he shall separate the sheep and the goats. Yes, in that day, ladies and gentlemen, they shall not be according to the book of Zechariah 14:21-22. There shall not be one Canaanite blood mixed Israelite left in the land. Oh, hallelujah. Only Yahweh in his genetic knowledge knows who is a Israelite, who is a Hebrew, and who is a Canaanite mixed bloodline Jew. Only Yahweh knows. But let me assure you one thing. Those that have remained pure down through the ages and down through the generations, you have your father and your mother to thank, because in this day and time, it has become so common and so appealing to mix with these other races, and the agenda of the serpent seed Canaanites is for the miscegenation of all of the white race into these others, and then you are genetically altered and you are ruined forever, and they know that. That's their goal. It's been from the word Egypt. The Canaanite Jews came out from the land of Egypt with those. Now, we're going to prove that tomorrow night. We're going to get into the proof before Bethlehem advertised tomorrow night. You tune in. You don't want to miss this very amazing revelational gospel. It may save your soul. It'll change the way you think. Praise Yahweh about the scriptures and what's gone on in the past. This is truth at ground zero, and we're setting off a nuclear hydrogen explosion into your mind, and we hope that it will cause an earthquake to tumble all the walls of tradition, fear, ignorance, and superstition. Now, I'm brought to you tonight by Miracle 2. You need to call Dr. Gary at 1-877-289-7439. Now, if you call Dr. Gary, please tell him that you heard Pastor Buddy blazing away on truth. Yes, we're ground blazing the truth of tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Taking no prisoners. We don't want no milk baby bottle suckers, if you will. We want those that can eat meat. So you're going to get some teeth, and you need to brush them in Miracle 2, by the way. Praise y'all. It leaves them feeling real clean, and it doesn't give you any of that sugarly toothpaste that you're using. Throw out that garbage. The Jews have got into that, and they've loaded it down with a lot of poisons that you don't know about. Ask Dr. Gary all about that. And you need also to call my good friend, Dr. Jack. Both these are medical men, highly trained professionals that can give you some sound advice in the medical field and concerning the health of your body. 1-888-281-7320. Don't buy Miracle 2 or the products that goes with it from anybody else. Buy it from these two men right here. It will help sponsor the Shepherd's Call. Don't support anybody else that ain't preaching this truth that you heard tonight. Support the truth, ladies and gentlemen. You will be blessed abundantly for it. You will be praised in the kingdom to come, for your reward will be that you have helped further the gospel and to break this ignorance, fear, and superstitions, this great wall of confusion that they have built up over the centuries, saying that Christ was born in Bethlehem, Judea, when in actual reality he was born in Bethlehem, Ephratah, 50 to 60 miles difference in the geographical location, and when Mary traveled from this area over to Nazareth, it was only a distance of 7 miles. That would be feasible on a donkey and her heavy with a child. Now, if she had to travel from there back to Bethlehem, Judea, or from Nazareth to Bethlehem, Judea, it would have been approximately 60 miles as the crow flies. And ladies and gentlemen, that is impossible as we would know it today. But it is purely feasible if you will put Christ being born in Bethlehem, Ephratah, where he was actually born. That is his birthplace. That is where the scripture says he would come from. Now, if you hear anything else or if you read anything else in the word, remember they have altered the text in certain places to make you believe that they, I'm talking about the Canaanite, Edomite Jews, who have masterfully, deceptively changed the scriptures to deceive you. And the Bible says they would deceive the very elect. You know why I'm hated? You just heard the rest of the story, ladies and gentlemen, and now you know why this pastor stays pretty close to where he can protect himself, if you know what I mean, because I have more enemies than I've got friends. Let me count on you tonight. Call me. Say, Pastor Buddy, I'm your friend. I will support you in the gospel. Well, send your tithes and love offerings to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call, and we would very appreciate it. And remember our sponsors. Pastor Buddy, we'll see you tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Tell a friend that we're on Praise Yahweh, and let's get ready to rumble Praise Yahweh against the evils of sin.
Shepherd's Call, live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.